With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, Olivia.
Hi, Ione.
And hello to the listeners who have not left us any reviews recently. So if you'd like to, please leave us a review. But for now, welcome to the Polyester Podcast. I'm Ione, and I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of Polyester, online and in print and everywhere else.
And I'm Olivia, the co-host, producer and editor of the podcast. We publish weekly episodes with the Sleepover Club one week and Obsessions the next.
This week, it's the Obsessions episode where we talk to a person we admire about something they're obsessed with that has nothing to do with how they generate their income.
And next week is the Sleepover Club where Ione and I have all those gorge conversations you usually have with your girlmates at a sleepover. And at the end, there's some recommendations to get you through lockdown.
So, today we have Obsessions. I'm very excited. Olivia, what's your obsession of the week?
Well, actually, I don't want to do any spoilers, but obviously UK and American Drag Race is back on.
Mm-hmm.
And the UK one has a very good lip sync, very emotional, and I basically am obsessed with the song. For like pure musical, my housemate's literally like, oh god, yeah, he had to leave the room the other day.
Also, this is controversial because the song slash musical slash recent film adaptation of the musical is very controversial, so you're brave for saying that, Olivia.
Yeah, I know. I think it's a great version of the song. I think the film, I love the meme. It's basically from Cats, isn't it? Let's be honest. Let's just be honest about it.
Is that the name of the
Memories,
song?
Memories, yeah. But it's great. There's a meme going around that's like the release of Cats, the trajectory of the demise of the human race.
The demise of society. Yeah, I know. I was thinking that the other day. I have two obsessions, also TV-based, because what the hell else is there to do?
Mm-hmm.
On very opposite spectrums of TV, so bear with me. One is Bling Empire on Netflix. It's literally incredible drama. Like, if you are missing drama, it's incredible. The characters, the storylines, the money, the diamonds. It has everything, so watch that. And then secondly, this weekend, I've just binged all of It's a Sin on Channel 4. Which is the new Russell T Davies drama about the AIDS crisis, but it's based in like London. And it is amazing. Oh my God, it's so sad. It's literally broken my heart, but it's an incredible watch. So I think everyone should definitely watch that.
Fantastic. I love the different ends. You like interlink the episodes just for a bit of calm.
Oh yeah, I forgot what I was going to say. Anyway, what have we got today?
I love today's obsession. So today we have author, scriptwriter, journalist, Bolu Babalola, who actually last year had a book out, Loving Colour. I don't know if you've read it. I know that you've read it, but I don't know if everyone listening's read it, but they should because it's gorgeous. Loads of lovely short stories, which I actually have found like really helpful. Like, I've always loved short stories anyway, but just in lockdown with your like patience.
Yeah.
Like with a short story, you kind of, it's like a little achievement, you know what I mean? You know, you don't have to invest too much and you can just like, it's like why probably series are like well more successful than films at the minute.
Yeah.
But gorgeous collection of short stories there. So yeah, and Bolu's obsession is like not like anything we've done and not something that I'd done until I until we heard what her obsession was. So
yeah,
I think don't want to give any spoilers, but it's just a lovely little listen.
Let's have a listen then.
Hey, Bolly.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you, Olivia?
Yeah, good. Fine.
So before we get into your obsession, for anyone who may not be familiar with you and your work, could you give us a little quick introduction?
Yeah, I'm Bolly Babalola. I am the author of Loving Colour, Sunday Times bestseller. It's crazy to even say that. And it's an anthology of love stories from mythology and folklore around the world, primarily in Africa and Asia and the Middle East, but most of them are in West Africa. So obviously they're centering Black women. And in all the stories, they're centering women. And it's about women audaciously and actively participating in their iteration of romance. And also romance just being like an adjunct to their life rather than it being their whole entire life. It's something that's like the cherry on top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
congratulations on being a bestseller. That is like absolutely incredible, and the book is so good, so it totally deserves it. So today we are going to be talking about YouTube, but there's a more specific subsect, is that the word, I don't know, of YouTube you want to go deep on. So do you kind of want to introduce us to that a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know how I discovered it. I don't know. Maybe YouTube just like is intuitive, creepily intuitive about what I'm into. But it's this channel called Skin Deep, and it brings two people together, and they might be in a relationship. Those are my favorite. Or they might be siblings or exes, and they bring them together in this really intimate space, like in a blank room, and they're sitting opposite each other, and they get to ask each other like intimate questions. Like, okay, if we're using the relationship example, they'll be like, when did you first know you fell in love with me? Or when was the last time you were truly disappointed in me? Or like, what's your biggest fear about us? And they just really dig deeper into each other's relationship in the end. Like, they're just both crying, but it's so intimate and so beautiful, and it's just like so wonderfully human. And I just can watch them for ages. They're just so like, you never really get to see conversations like that. I mean, for good reason, because they are meant to be private, but also I think that it's questions that I think a lot of us would love to have the opportunity to ask people in our lives that we often are too vulnerable or too scared to go into. And I think it's just a great way to, it makes you reevaluate your own life and your own relationships and things that can make your relationships healthier. I'm obsessed with it.
So I mean, straight off the bat, like, you describing it, and I've watched a bit this morning, like, do you know, you probably don't know because obviously you didn't actually make this YouTube channel, do you know how they cast them? Because I feel like maybe it's a weird, like, you know, Guardian blind dates thing, like you think people won't really put themselves forward, but then they're really like ready for it. Like, do you know how they cast them?
I think it's just really straightforward. I think people just like, they put an ad out on like Instagram or YouTube and people just literally apply to it. Sometimes, oh my gosh, there's one that's my favorite. There's like, so there's this couple who met online through Instagram or something, and they've been dating for like a year, and their first meeting was like on that show, and they were asking each other these questions, and it's crazy because it's like that could have gone really badly, but then you get to see in real time the chemistry between these two people who have never met before, who have just built a relationship through words and showing up for each other, and then they caught up with them like a year later. So I think it's just people volunteering to be part of it, which is actually kind of makes it a little bit special because these people want to get to know each other more. I've seen like twin sisters go on it and like hash out like years old resentment. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because then I suppose the whole premise of the show is that it is like a genuine conversation. And then like I also watched some, and the first clip I went to was like, what do you like about our relationship? And then the other one was like, do you want to know what I like? The honesty. And I was like, okay, so this is really, the whole thing is really based on like honest conversation, which it makes sense.
And it can be really brutal and awkward to watch.
Yeah.
People end up crying.
Yeah. And interestingly, like just waiting for someone's reaction to whether they do or don't want to answer that question is so, you're like, wow, I'm all of a sudden like so hot or something.
It's like watching somebody's therapy session.
Would you ever go on it?
No, no, obviously, of course not. I'm entirely too private for that. But
I did try to trick a guy I was dating into answering the questions. I was like, oh, I discovered this really fun game. We should do it. But he quickly clocked what was happening and he was like, B, we're not doing this. But I was like, no. But it is something that I do generally think it's healthy. I think people, they do actually, I think they sell, it's not a game, but like they sell cards with the questions on it. So you could actually theoretically do it. Just like a fun house party game, just to get to know each other a little bit better. But I think the exercises are really good and healthy because you just get to know, I mean, if it's a relationship setting, your partner more. But anyway, if it's just your friend or your family member, you get to know them more. And I think it can only strengthen your relationship.
As someone who like obviously writes relationships and writes characters, do you think that they're will always be a difference between like something that is kind of like reality TV, like quote unquote, like reality YouTube and whatever, versus like dramas, TV dramas, written dramas or whatever? Like, is there a difference there? Or do you think that's like a gap that's kind of closed?
I mean, I think it's just very fluid. Obviously in some, it depends what you're watching, the quality of what you're watching. Okay, so if you're watching something like that's brilliantly written, like This Is Us, the honesty in the conversations are gleaned from reality, something that we see on Skin Deep, the name of the channel. Like, honestly, some of the conversation in This Is Us and some of the conversation This Is In on Skin Deep can mirror each other because they're really well written and focus on our connections with other people. And the romance is not superficial. It's something that's rooted in something deep, which is what I try to encapsulate in my writing as well. Like, I want romance to be something that's why it's my favorite compliment when people say, oh, I'm not romantic. And I didn't think I liked romance, but I really liked your book because I don't really like cheesy stuff. I want things that are real.
Yeah.
So I think it just depends what kind of thing you're watching. If you're watching something like, I don't want to name any like Netflix shows because I am a TV writer, but like, if you're watching something that isn't so deep, no, I don't think that's a realistic reflection of what relationships are like. I think it just depends on what you consume.
And also, like, on the flip side, of course, like, we're also aware of like reality television or reality like constructs and the way those are constructed. Have you ever noticed anyone really faking it on the channel or like performing?
I think what's so good about the show and the channel is that so a lot of the men might come through with like a bravado initially, especially maybe sometimes the exes may come through with a cockiness, and usually they're male. But then the thing is so intense and you're facing each other and somebody, like say it's like an ex who cheated on somebody else, that you just become more and more vulnerable as you go on. So any pretense and acting that you came in with is slowly destroyed because it's truly like an intense thing. Confronting somebody that you might have hurt and confronting your truth and their truth in a way that you wouldn't normally do in your daily reality. That I think that's what compels me the most is that you can't really act in it, not for long anyway.
Do either of you, right, this is, I always do this, come in with like half a piece of information, but did either of you ever read about this, like my old housemate years ago got really into it. It was like a 35 question or like a certain number of question challenge to fall in love.
Oh, this is what I was going to say, because they did it on TV as well, oh, yeah. Didn't they? Like,
yes.
This is an extension of everything that I love. Yes, I did watch that as well.
Yeah, so, but well, I kind of, but just to sum it up for the listeners who weren't, we were all just like, yeah. it was something like so many questions, can't remember how many. You ask each other the questions and then you like look into each other's eyes for like, as 10 seconds or a minute or something.
An uncomfortable amount of time.
Yeah. And then, so it like resurfaces every couple of years to be like, what does this mean, whatever. And so The Guardian a few years ago did an article on it, and the people who did it had kind of worked with each other and had met before, so it wasn't the ideal circumstances, but they did end up like falling for each other. But then part of the theory behind it is that the questions make the other person be honest and be vulnerable, which are like, they're basically like, they're so fundamental in a relationship and they get so like repressed or neglected,
yeah,
that just the questions alone give the people a better shot at being able to be in love with each other.
Totally. Yeah.
The whole time it just makes me think like, it's like that, isn't it? That like ultimately if we can be honest and vulnerable, it's a good, you've got a good shot, haven't you?
Yeah, I love things like that. There was another thing years ago, and I think it was like, the experiment was called like 40 Days to Fall in Love. And these two friends had a couple, had a blog, and they basically had a thing where they dated each other. They weren't very lucky in relationships and decided to date each other for 40 days to see if they were fall in love. And it was so interesting because, yes, it was weird because they were in this contrived experiment, and then you see them going through the motions of falling in love and getting to know each other in a way that they wouldn't have done because they agree that they're doing this thing where the object is to get to know each other better and to be honest with each other, and they're actively trying to be good partners. But at the end of it, they date for a little bit and then they break up. I just found it so fascinating that like they went into this thing with these intentions and then it kind of all dissipated. But I love those kind of things. There's kind of human, not experiments, but like, no, they're kind of experiments. Just where just getting to the to the basis of what makes us tick and what makes love work and what makes relationships work.
Do you think that like we're kind of fascinated with stories like this and stuff like this and the like YouTube channel because we want to know like more about love and like how it works? And or do you think there's just like an element of nosiness to it where it is like kind of uncomfortable to watch people being really honest, but also like very entertaining?
I think it's both. I think with something with Skin Deep, it can't be as just like shallow as Schadenfreude because it's just so, I mean, it's just, you might initially start watching it as it'd be like, oh my God, this is like, you know, like get to peek in somebody else's relationship. And there is that thrill and that glee of it. But I think even if you, again, if you just start, even if you start that way, you won't end up that way because you end up really like, because these people are so honest with each other. You end up kind of.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Liking them and being invested in them and wanting to know, like I find myself like going on their Instagram to be like, oh my gosh, is this couple still together? And I hope they're really happy. And like, she moved to another city. She moved to New York to follow her dreams and she broke up with him. Is she following her dreams? You become really invested in these people. I think it's actually, it can hone in on a really pure part of ourselves that like really is drawn to connection and our humanity and relationships. And like I said, I think watching it for me, I know I've learned so much because sometimes you relate to people and you empathize with people and you see similarities in other people that you have. And I think you also just learn about yourself and like, oh, I do that in relationships and I do that in friendships. And oh, maybe this is why, like, it's not that he didn't care about me, it's just that he didn't know how to show it. Like, you just learn so much about your relationships and yourself. It's just, yeah, I love it.
And like, why do you think that we are still, this is a bit deep, still like so scared of honesty and like actually practicing these things and like these questions or just these ways of speaking to each other in our own relationships, like in general?
I think it's just like the fear of vulnerability. Like if you are honest with somebody, you're opening yourself up to get hurt. But sometimes I don't think we realize that risk is worth it, because often when what we're keeping in and repressing is more harmful to us in the long run and is more damaging to our relationships in the long run. But that's why so many rom-coms and love stories at their crux are actually quite simple, because the hurdles really arise from people keeping their feelings in and being really scared of rejection and really scared of hurt and not actually trusting that person to accept their truth without being damaging to them. Wait, sorry, what was your question again? I can't remember.
My question was, why are we still like afraid of enacting this kind of honesty in our own relationships?
Yeah, that's basically why, because vulnerability and just fear of rejection, it's really scary. Romance and love is so scary. You're really putting yourself out there. You're giving your heart to somebody else, not just in romantic relationships, but like with somebody that's you're very close to, even if it's just a best friend, even if it's just your mother. And also you sometimes are scared of hurting them with your truth. So I think it's so refreshing to see like this space given to these relationships to hash these things out.
Mm-hmm. So at the start of lockdown, I was reading this book, like a psychology book from the School of Life. So they're like, you know, it's like an accessible psychology, like why we do things or whatever. Don't know, you know, a little bit self-obsessed at the start of lockdown / self-obsessed always. But there was a part of it on like romance and relationships. And I think I'm going to double check, but I'm pretty sure it was just basically like throughout history, we've just, everyone's just completely forgotten that we have had like so little autonomy over being in love and who we love, because it was like for so long, it was like you married into, because like basically for like logistically like to bring families together or to bring like, well, kingdoms together, or just that your kingdoms, I don't know, that's really old. So basically like romance didn't really exist. It was kind of, it of course existed, but it was like quite secret, or, and even the fact that it existed secretly will have like influenced how actually people felt about each other or whatever. So it was saying that in the, like European romanticism has only really existed for like 200 or so years. I need to like check that quote, but I think it's like only a few hundred years that we've had like freedom to love. And then they were like, and then the portrayal of love is like so detrimental to that, because it kind of, rather than being like this huge big thing where like you meet someone and you might like them and you might have great laughs with them but not great sex and you have to figure that out, or you might really like one thing and not another, or you know, like loads of things, it was saying that like the way romance is presented is like really reductive. And so I was kind of wondering like what you think about that, because yeah, your stories like aren't a conventional like romance or love story, they're like much bigger than that. And like why you think that's important, or like,
yeah, I think it was really important when I was writing my stories to write something, like I said, that centers women. And because like you said, and it's true, it's not just Europe, it's all over the world. When I was researching for the book and looking at these myths, there's not a lot of love stories that are love stories really on their own, or romantic. They're mm-hmm. about women and men getting together, but they're not love stories. It's about a man asserting his power over a woman and choosing her, and the woman being like, oh, well, I'm so lucky to be chosen, even though this man is kind of predatory and creepy and going off with them. It's a pattern in Europe. It's pattern because of patriarchy, and patriarchy is not something that knows race or country or nationality. And so I think it was, and in the mainstream, it's weird because we have all these residues of this patriarchal thinking of a woman choosing a man over her dreams, and it's like one versus the other, and a man falling up in love with her and her rising up to that occasion, rather than something that she's actively choosing, and it's not really a partnership. And so in my book, it was really important to me to kind of, I got to reshape my own narrative and how I see romance. I'm a romantic, but I'm also a feminist. I'm also really powerful in the space that I'm in. I want a man to be a partner to me. And so, this is an ethos that I carried into my book. So when they're dating men, the men are in awe of the woman and trying, elevating the woman, and they love the woman, a woman who is powerful, and the power of the woman is something that entices them and appeals to them. And these women often have, these women are warriors. these women have like their ambitions in their career. In one of the stories, her man wants to go to LA for work. He's an actor, she's a writer. And he's like, just move with me. And she's like, no, because I don't want to move on your own terms. I need to figure out what I'm going to do. And in the end, the man comes back to her because he's like, actually, no, you're right to do that. And also, I love you for who you are. And I don't think that should be a fantasy. I think the fact that people think that it's unrealistic is troubling. It shouldn't be troubling. We should be challenging our notions of great relationships. But in all the relationships, like even when they're with women, it's about people, the partner embracing who the other person is completely and them growing together. And I think there's so much, there's really little emphasis in mainstream depictions of romance of the partnership and that friendship and bringing out the best of each other and working together and doing life together. I think we know we need to do better, but I don't think people value romance and the genre enough to be trying to do that much better, yeah. I think. You know, I think they just think rom-coms are romance rather than it being this like universal unifying thing that is one of the most relatable genres and relatable themes. They dismiss it because they think it's innately femme and they don't want to place that value, the societal value on it. But I think it's really important because when a romance is done well, it teaches us about ourselves. It teaches us about ourselves in relation to other people. Yeah. And hopefully, maybe it teaches us about what we would want in a relationship. And it doesn't always have to be fantasy. Like, it doesn't always have to be like, oh, if only people were like that in real life. If only I can meet somebody like that in real life. It's not really about meeting somebody like that in real life. It's about knowing what your standards are and knowing what you need out of a partner, I think. I love a good Hallmark rom-com, especially the seasonal ones. They're so good to get lost in.
The Christmas ones are the best.
They're the best. Like, I'm watching one right now. Actually, I don't think it's actually, like, shit, but it's really good. It's called Can You Keep a Secret? And it's on Netflix, and it's really
fun. I just watched it recently.
It's so good. Like, well, it's better than I thought it would be. I love the book by Sophie Kinsella, but I really wasn't expecting much. And I was like, oh, this is cute. I like it. There's a place for that, but I think there should be also be a place to know that it can also be more than that, you know? It doesn't just have to be, like, fantasy escapism that just doesn't really have any bearing in our reality.
Just to round off, what would you say like the top three things you have learned are from watching the YouTube channel?
Well, that's a good question. I think the value of honesty, I think the value of honesty is actually the main thing, because I was thinking everything comes down to that, honesty and communication, I think, and trust. But I think that they're all interlinked, because when somebody's honest with you, that builds trust. And for them to be honest with you, you have to have good communication. And I think those are it seems really simple on paper, but those are the three hardest things to do in a relationship.
Really, like,
there's so much at stake. Like, even just like telling like a friend that something they did the other day pissed you off. Like, it can be really difficult because you're like, oh, I don't want to upset them. I don't want to like upset like our dynamic. But it's worth it, I think, because I think if you're not honest, you kind of are just adding complications, unnecessary complications to your relationship.
Thank you, Bolu.
And thanks for all the just really nice conversation about how to be in good relationships with people. It's really important, isn't it?
Yeah, I think especially over the last year, it's been such a time of, I said, yeah, so posh just then. Anyway.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I went like, yeah.
Over the past, yeah. Yeah.
Very not me. I feel like everyone's been, you know, kind of reevaluating their relationships or their reasons for like friendships and also relationships and all of these things. So I think a lot of what Bolu said is definitely helpful and applicable at this time.
The honesty thing, definitely. I think like, I even think about being honest about having a bit of a shit time.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy. It's like an ingrained defense mechanism to project happiness onto other people just to make yourself feel bad. So it's really good to be like, yeah, I'm also having like a shit time or whatever.
Yeah, 100%. And I thought, because we got loads of great feedback on our last episode with Maisie Cousins, thank you to everyone that listened, by the way, that we could read out a bit of it. It's been mostly on Instagram, but if you want to comment on this episode or any on previous episodes, please do leave us a review, and that would be absolutely great, and we can read some out. So Trixie Militia said, as a new and single mother, I've been panicking slightly about how I will ever find the time for my creative projects, since I can't even make time to properly cook a full meal, .. If you can't afford a nanny and must do it all yourself, does it mean you must just pull all nighters while the baby sleeps? Would be lovely to hear this being discussed. The ideas in your head don't stop flowing as the implementation time gap widens, which I thought was a really good point.
Yeah, totally.
Especially about, like, yeah, I think that's applicable to everyone as well. Like, our ideas and the way we can achieve them are maybe, like, different or adapting, and it's about how you can kind of cater to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, head to our Instagram and have a look, because every week we're kind of like isolating little bits of the podcast and making them into reels. So we made a reel about what Maisie said about social media, and Kat Says Meow, great username, said, I catch myself numbed out scrolling, thinking about social media a lot lately. A lot of it is loud, meaningless noise, which we can relate to.
Yeah, and also it is mad how much you just crave it. Like, I've stopped going on Instagram as much, but I'm like, going on again, classic, the Liverpool Echo website.
Yeah.
Today I was like reading an article about Craig, who won the first ever Big Brother. And like, cause he's a Scouser, like, it comes up and I've sent it to my mate and we're chatting about it. But I'm like, it is just you just kind of want anything there, don't you? Like, we're so at a point where we're just like, I just need.
Yeah, I was, for a long time, I was replacing Instagram scrolling with eBay scrolling, which maybe slightly more healthy, but definitely not for my bank account. But anyway, yeah, that was feedback on last week's episode. Please leave us some more. We absolutely love to hear it. And next week, we have a very exciting sleepover club.
Yeah, and also this week on Thursday, it's Ione's birthday.
Oh, yeah, lol.
Same star sign, almost the same 24 hours of birth as my housemate.
Great, yeah. And then, so if you would like to send me, you know, flowers, gifts, cards,
money,
love letters, money, then you can do that. I don't know how. You can, you know, find a prayer, send a prayer, and my address will be sent to you. And then next Tuesday, we have an event, a Bridgerton watch along event. Oh my God, there's just so much going on. So if you'd like to discuss Bridgerton with us, which will tie into an upcoming podcast episode, then join the dollhouse.
Join the dollhouse. And the dollhouse chat, which, by the way, is popping off.
It is popping off, so you should get on that. Thank you, Olivia.
Thank you, Ione.
And thank you to Bolly.
Yeah, thanks, Bolly. That was just lovely and, like, really, really wholesome.
Yeah, very wholesome. And thank you to Clarissa and to Jacob.
And to Gina and Carlin.
And to Hattie and Charlotte and Camille. And I think that's everyone we need to thank you, apart from you, the listeners. We'll see you next week.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.